From the campus of Maharshi University of Management, this is World Radio, KHOE 90.5 FM, and this is the program What's New on Campus. And today we want to extend a warm welcome to Dr. Anil Mishwari, who has recently joined the MUM Computer Science Department faculty and currently has appointments in the Management and Computer Science departments as well. Welcome, Professor Mishwari.
Thank you very much, Stan. I appreciate it.
It's so nice to see new faces here on campus, the students as well as faculty.
Yeah.
They always bring with them new ideas and new ways of doing things.
That's right.
We are eager to hear about your experiences here at MUM, what you are currently doing and what your goals are. But first, we would like to talk about a very special event coming up this Saturday in Dalby Hall in honor of Mahatma Gandhi, historical peacemaker and statesman beloved by all in the world. Maybe you can tell us about that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stan, for the opportunity. Mahatma Gandhi's birthday is actually today, October 2nd. So we are delighted to be speaking on Gandhi's birthday. And Gandhi was a great man, or he did great deeds, and his message is relevant to the world even today. His message is that everybody should work with a spirit of service, which is very much in consistency. I mean, it's consistent with the ethos and spirit of MUM. Every work is a piece of service, and no work is too small for us, and we should change ourselves, and that's how we change the world.
Yes, he has said that. He's very famous for saying that.
He's very famous for saying that. So we are celebrating his birthday as a Be the Change Day on this Saturday at 1 p.m. in Dalby Hall.
And will it be some stories about him and some film or something?
Yes, we will have a film by Maharshi when he talked about Gandhi on his Gandhi's birthday, and he cut a cake that on that tape. We will also have some stories, some short presentation on Gandhi. And we will also have some cultural items like singing of his favorite bhajans. And the best part is he was a lover of all religions. And so his bhajans were essentially talking about how we rise ourselves and raise ourselves in our abilities to become a better person and thus help all humanity. He was a man for all humanity. So it'll be a very nice program, and then at the end of it, we will also have a service project where some volunteers will go to a place and do some real work with their own hands, like some cleaning or painting or decorating some place. That would be very nice. It'll be in the city of Fairfield.
That's a nice tradition. Maybe we can have that tradition now.
Yes, you know, that'll be great. That'll be my delight. I've been a Gandhian for 30 years, and I believe in Gandhi, and I think that'll be my honor to help establish some connection between Gandhi and Be the Change and with MUM.
Whoa. Now, Gandhi was a very unique person. He was born in India, but he was educated in the West and became a lawyer, a very, very good one from what I understand. He had kind of a foot in two boats, but at the same time, he went back to his roots of India, didn't he?
That is correct. He earned his stripes, so to say, first in South Africa, where he went as a barrister, first on a sort of a regular commercial job, but then he quickly found the injustice being dealt out to the local native Indians there, people who had come from India. And so he quickly became their champion. And without really antagonizing or calling the local white community names, he just said, let's deal with everybody with honor and dignity. So he fought for their honor and dignity, and the quote-unquote racist South African government of that time had to take back some of the unjust laws and offer rights of property, rights of marriage, rights of freedom of religion, etc., to the native Indian population there. And so that was a great victory for Gandhi after living there for 20 years in South Africa. So in 1915, he came back to India as a big hero.
Well, now He really made his mark in the whole world, didn't he? He wasn't just an Indian saint-like person. People from almost all nations recognize his name and know what he's done. Even in this country, I mean, he was Martin Luther King,
that
a
is
great
correct.
Follower of his.
That is correct.
So he really was a worldwide figure, wasn't he?
He was, and I think he preached a very wonderful message of dignity for everyone, working with your own hands. He talked about self-reliance. He talked about being strong in the heart, in your spirit. And he always said, when people said, well, why are you being nonviolent? Why can't we be nonviolent? He said, nonviolence is the path of the strong. Mm-hmm. We cannot be nonviolent, but that's being sort of surrendering. So you have to be really strong to be able to take that blows. And that's what if you see in Martin Luther King's life. He took a lot of blows, but he stood strong. He never spoke bad of anybody. He spoke of equality and opportunity for everyone. And that message is something that hits at the heart of those people who are trying to be bigots or mean or whatever in some ways, right. Sort of looking for small thoughts and advantage. And eventually it resonates with the deepest angels of people's heart, mm-hmm. and liberation happens.
Well, now I know he's deeply revered in India. There's celebrations that go on in India?
Oh, yeah. Yes. October 2nd is a day of national celebration and holiday in India. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's been like that. And there's a prayer and offering at cremation site. Mm-hmm. Everybody, all the leaders go there and they pray at his site. Uh-huh. And that's also seen as a day of being the change. And I'm so glad that some of the South Asian leadership team here in the U.S. have created a Be the Change Day in the U.S. and about 100 campuses around this country, mm-hmm. in U.S. it'll be celebrated as a Be the Change Day. Ooh. And certainly in India, It's a little bit sad that in some ways India has sort of moved away from Gandhi's message, and Gandhi's message is kind of considered relevant on the on his birthday. People have become a little bit materialistic, but I hope that as people grow a little more rich, they begin to realize that ultimately happiness comes from being a good person and being a moral person, and just like what Gandhi was saying.
Yes, I know Maharishi often alluded to, I never saw the film that you're talking about, so I don't know what he exactly said, but I have a couple of quotes. I knew we were going to have this conversation, so I went online.
Wonderful.
And I found a couple of quotes that really sound like what Maharishi would say too.
Right.
Can I read them?
Yep.
Okay. He says, an eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind.
Yes. And that's a fascinating thing, if I can respond to that.
Sure.
For example, there were many, many times when British were weak during the 1930s, during the, leading up to the World War. Uh-huh. And his ally said, now is the time to strike the British because they're weak. And he said, no, we cannot take advantage of their weakness. That is a sign of our weakness. Mm-hmm. We should be able to stand strong and bargain or negotiate from a position of strength, from inner strength. So just an eye for eye, because that just goes tit for tat, and then that sets up the other people back to take revenge.
Yeah.
That cycle will lead nowhere.
Yes, so you have to break that cycle.
You have to break that cycle.
And another one, he says, a man is but the product of his thoughts, what he thinks he becomes. And Maharishi has said that.
Absolutely. That's what the whole idea is, that unmanifest consciousness comes thoughts, and that leads to action, that leads to accomplishment, that is to fulfillment. I think that's exactly what Mahatma Gandhi said. Yeah. You have to be pure in your thoughts.
Yeah.
He always emphasized cleanliness. He said cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yeah.
And he emphasized cleanliness straight first from the heart, and then of course in the physical environments. You can't be clean inside and sort of live in uncleanliness. And he would go to events and he will see people sitting around with flies going around and dirt all around. He is then famous going around picking up the broom and started cleaning. And then suddenly he was lo and behold, everybody start cleaning. So he valued that cleanliness in your heart. And that's very, very much.
That's very good. Well, we need to hear that again and again.
Yes.
And another one that struck me was, he said, You must be the change you wish to see in the world. And that's very famous.
That is very famous. And it's amazing that there are so many stories around it. But one of the famous ones is like when a lady comes to him with his daughter and says, this girl always wants to drink milk with sugar. She likes too much sugar and she's going to develop disease and all that stuff. And he says, she tells Gandhi, please tell my daughter not to drink, ask for sugar in the milk. And he says, okay, come back in 2 weeks. And the woman is confused. What do you mean? She said, yeah, come back in 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, she comes back and Gandhi says, explains to the little girl, okay, you can drink milk without sugar. I've tasted it. It looks it's pretty tasty. You will get used to it. So the woman asked, why did you take 2 weeks? Well, for those 2 weeks, I tried milk without sugar. Before I could ask her to change, I had to change myself. So that is kind of the thing, you know. Before we advise, we are very good at giving unsolicited advice to a lot of people about doing things. It's much more profitable too to change ourselves for the better and lead through example rather than just telling them.
Yes, it's a good way to be a good parent too.
It's a good way to be a good parent, and you know the kids watch us more than we listen. They listen to
more
us
more than you think. Another one he said, and this one reminds me very much of what we're all about here at MUM. It said, a small body of determined spirits fired by an unquenchable faith in their mission can alter the course of history. And Marcia said that, but in different words.
Yes.
Is it possible to do this?
It is very possible. In fact, he's gone even beyond that. He said, I would like to be a majority of one. I would love to be the majority of one, even in the direction of the right, even if I'm the only one doing it. Uh-huh. He said, majority of people on the wrong side doesn't make a stronger force than a majority of one, if that's what it is. So, and he was alone, you know, and walking on this path for a long time, till he just was determined, walking the right path, and people just went his way and followed him. So, when he says small body of determined people, it starts with one person, and like, that's what Maharshi. And Maharshi gathered, obviously, a lot of people around him, and then a lot more, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So Gandhi, again, led with his example.
That's so true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very true. That's what it is. Somebody has to hold the flag. There are a lot of people who are willing to contribute the energy and, you know, right, thoughts and effort, but somebody has to hold the mission, and that's what it is, a small body of people.
Yes. Well, thank goodness for India that Mahatma Gandhi came around, huh?
Yes, yes. No, it was amazing. And look at this, you know, the country had been under some kind of occupation under the Muslims or the British for hundreds of years, 800-900 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you couldn't blame any power at that point in time, because if not British, somebody else would have ruled us because we were so divided. Gandhi came along and said, let's have the strength inside us.
Yeah.
If we are strong, 300 million people cannot be ruled by 500,000 British or 500,000 anybody.
Yeah, that's
and that's what it is. So we're so glad he came and he uplifted the spirits of India, but also in the process uplifted the spirits around the world. And
yes.
Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., who was the leader of Manchu, who's the leader of Burma. They've all been inspired by Gandhi to create strength and sort of quiet revolution in the hearts of their countrymen.
Well, he certainly has made a positive mark on the world. And now this event is, again, what day is it?
It's this coming this Saturday, October 6th,
uh-huh,
at 1 p.m. in Dalby Hall, uh-huh, in Maharshi University. And from 1 o'clock to 2:30, as we said, we will have Maharshi tape and some commentary also by Professor Evans Finkelstein, and then some little presentation, some stories about him. I will be the doing person, and then some cultural bhajan performances of singing of some of his favorite bhajans. Bhajan means like holy songs.
Yes. Very good. Well, I'm looking very much forward
to it. We will also sing at the most likely, we will sing We Shall Overcome, which is
very good.
Yeah.
American version.
Yeah. So everybody's invited. It's a free event, and everybody from city and around and MUM is welcome to come to the event and partake in the...
So the whole community.
Whole community is invited.
Wonderful. Well, I hope that there's a big turnout. I know some of my friends will be there and I will be there.
Absolutely. We welcome you. And
Well, thank you, Professor Maheshwari. Now, a little bit about your background. You're a new faculty here, and you have a very rich and varied background in your field, having been educated at the Indian Institute of Technology in Delhi, the Indian Institute of Management at Ahmedabad.
Ahmedabad, yes.
Yes. And you earned a PhD in Management Information Systems from Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. You also have 9 years at IBM, spent some time with various IT companies, and ran your own IT consulting company in Delhi. And you have also taught at other schools here in the U.S. Now, what do you want to teach the students here at MUAM? What do you see as their greatest need to make the transition from student to successful employment in their field?
I'm here two parts. One is I'm here to teach management information systems. That's why I have a joint appointment with the computer science department and the management department. Mm-hmm. And currently I'm teaching a course in the computer science program called systems analysis and design course. And I'll be teaching the additional courses here. And then I'll teach a course in management department called management information systems, and then more courses. So we will try to build a program or certification program around management information systems area. Like we have very successful program in Compro where people become great programmers and go on to earn great jobs. There's also great demand for managers in the IT field who can manage the IT environment or who can be systems analysts and who can design new systems, etc. And so we want to help train people become better IT managers. Some of our graduates who have graduated out of Compro program may also come back to do the MIS certification. We will also have a specialization in our MBA program around MIS area, mm-hmm. and some other programs where people can learn MIS skills. So that is what it is. I think in terms of to your question around what would make our students successful, I think the biggest thing and what attracted me to this place is that everybody is here in here for self-development. Mm-hmm. And the last 2 days I spent, that's my first course teaching here, I had designed a new unified field chart around my course. You know, they're not designed too often, right? I designed one around that and used that to explain to our students what the totality of wholeness of knowledge is. It's not just the course they're studying, but the wider layers, like onion, layers of onion. And obviously, it connects back to the unified field mm-hmm. and all the knowledge and the experiential element of it and the knowledge element of it. So I think the most important thing for success for our students is to understand the value of the consciousness-based education, develop themselves, see the disciplined knowledge they're learning in the context of the overall wholeness of knowledge, be able to develop the infinity consciousness, be able to think broadly, think big, mm-hmm. so they're not constrained by small self-imposed constraints and limiting beliefs, mm-hmm. and be able to go out there in the world and think big and be able to do a big difference. Mm-hmm. And I think Maharshi's education, Maharshi's ideas, Maharshi's concepts and SCI, everybody goes through SCI, and I think they should understand and try to imbibe that in the education they have.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's wonderful that you've been able to integrate consciousness-based education into your field. Now, IT is a very huge field these days. I guess almost every university and college in the world probably teaches this, so it's a very sought-after degree that students are after. And I guess going out into the field and finding jobs, especially in this climate that we're in now, is a little bit challenging for a lot of students. But you're right, if they have that edge, consciousness-based education, understanding the unified field and how it integrates into their study and their work, I guess it's a great advantage to them.
It is a great advantage, at least I think so. And obviously, we have to integrate it in the right way for the students to make sense of it. There are students here, obviously, and it's something new for them. But I think our students have been very successful at big companies like Microsoft, et cetera, and the Compro students. And they will, there's no reason why MIS students will not be more also equally successful. So it is important that students begin to realize the specialization, the benefit of the consciousness-based education, that the idea of infinite creative potential in us. Mm. They have to begin to believe that, even a little bit if they begin to believe. Once a day if they begin to believe that thought, I think it'll just do them a great, great good. And you're right. The job market is what it is. There are, in some ways plenty of jobs in the sort of IT skills, and yet there are not too many overall jobs. So it takes sudden combination of skills and attitude and knowledge for somebody to be hired and to be successful and to retain the job. Yeah. You know that. It's just, getting a job is one thing.
Yes.
Retaining and being successful in the job is another thing. So you need to have a certain path in which you travel. That path sustains you, grows you towards greater work success and your professional development success.
Well, these students here are very fortunate to have you because your background is so, you have such a tremendous background in both in academia as well as in practical hands-on work. So they must be getting a very good education.
Yeah, I love teaching, and that is why after so many years in industry, I came back here, and no better place than here to come back, because here everybody is engaged in pursuit of moksha, their own liberation. Yeah. At the end of the day, that's what it is all about. We hanker about things, whether IT, money, jobs, whatever. It's ultimately to be happy, yeah. And happy. Once our students develop that alternative path for happiness and don't seek happiness just from money. Yeah, money can provide means for action and so on and so forth. Yeah. That's important. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't be relying on money to give you happiness. It takes very little to make, you know, kids. Kids can play with little thing and be very happy. At some point, we need to get back that innocence, right, and be able to be true to ourselves and not get caught up in all those things. I like to... You're right. I do have rich background in industry as well as academia, so I'm able to bring a lot of real life stories and feel for our students, mm-hmm. and they seem to enjoy. They laugh a lot because some of the stories are funny. Obviously, in the corporate, nonsense that goes on sometimes, and we bring those things. Mm-hmm. So I think that way students are more engaged. They're not just learning theory knowledge, but they're also seeing how it applies, you know, what the nuanced knowledge that is relevant for them to do well in the work world. Well, so I enjoy teaching. I enjoy teaching, bringing a lot of stories and there.
Very good. Well, you certainly are involved here in the university, and it's so nice to see that.
Yeah, no, thank you.
It brings some richness that I think we need here. So does... how many different countries are represented by the students here? Is it quite a few in the IT department? Quite a few different nations they come from?
Yeah, I think we get students from 60 or 70 countries here. Maybe in the IT is about the same number.
Yeah.
I have students from Ethiopia, from Cameroon, from Cambodia, from Laos, from Egypt, and so many people in my own class, and I can understand there are other students from other countries too. So we have true United Nations here represented. And it's actually very wonderful to learn from all of those people, their own sort of different traditions and strengths.
Yeah.
You know, like India brings Gandhi, they might have some other, South Africa will bring Mandela, and you know, every country has some leader who lifted the people and took them to, you know, new heights.
Uh-huh.
And their cultures, their customs, their food, their way of talking, eating, dressing, everything is different and enriches everyone's life.
Well, it's so wonderful. Well, you must be having a good time. I can tell by the smile on your face.
That has been fun. It's been fun. I just taught for 2 days, and but I think students are enjoying the... What I like about it is this concept of wholeness, that you start with the concept of wholeness. You don't just chop wood a step by step at a time, but you first give people a sense of wholeness and then relate every piece that you discuss back to the wholeness of the unified field chart.
Yes, and I suppose the students... I guess most of them, maybe all of them, are taught transcendental meditation. So I guess that experience they have of their own self-development and the silence of their own cells and program probably adds to the enriched the environment that they're in. The studies that they have are holistic, and so are their experiences.
Well, that's true. So, you know, I not only do we focus on knowledge, but we also focus on experience. Not only we focus on the knowledge of discipline, but we focus on the knowledge of creative intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the mix of discipline and creative intelligence, experience and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a very rich and unique mixture.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to us how we leverage this to take the university and the students to the next level.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Professor Maheshwari. It's so nice to have you here. And again, the event is going to be this Saturday at...
October 6th, yeah.
At 1 p.m. in Dalby Hall. And hoping we see all of our friends there. Thank you, Dr. Maheshwari, for joining us on KHOE's
program. Looking forward to seeing you all and everybody, and greetings from myself and my family. We're delighted to be here. Thank you, Stan.
You're welcome. So, from the studios of KHOE 90.5 FM, Thank you for joining us on World Radio KHOE and the program What's New on Campus. Jai Gurudev.